morning, everybody. This is the Marcus Today pre-market podcast coming at you on Monday, April the 29th. Henry away today in WA. He'll be back on Wednesday. Until then, you have myself on pre-market podcast, you lucky things. This is general advice only, if it's advice at all, usual rules. And the futures are up 24 today, as doubtless you know from our weekend newsletter. Dow Jones on Friday was up 154, the S&P 500 up 1.02%, and the NASDAQ up 2.03%, a huge bounce in the NASDAQ. But we knew it was going to happen, of course, because we had heard and seen the Alphabet and Microsoft results. Microsoft was up 4.5% on its results. Initially, it actually only ended up 1.8%. But Alphabet was up 10% on Friday, and that took the NASDAQ up 4.23% last week. So a huge week. On the week, Nvidia was up 15%. And the message from the Meta, Microsoft, and Alphabet results is that AI, to be a service provider in AI, is going to take a lot of capital expenditure. And whilst that dumped the Meta price, it pumped Microsoft and Alphabet, because it's quite clear the big will survive and the big will be best. And Alphabet and Microsoft can afford the capex required to develop AI services, whereas Meta perhaps not. We'll see Apple and Amazon results this week. And if last week's results were anything to go by, they too will highlight the cost of AI, and there will be an emerging, I assume, threesome or foursome AI powerhouse in the US, and that'll probably polarize those stocks. But all this increased capital expenditure, of course, fabulous for the picks and shovel stocks. So Nvidia up 15% last week. But the other big issue flying around, of course, is interest rates and our higher than expected CPI number last Wednesday, our third higher than expected number on the trot. Bond yields last week jumped almost a whole rate rise. 10-year bond yield up 18.6 basis points, 2-year bond yield up 22 basis points. And as you're doubtless aware, Capital Economics were saying that the RBA are going to raise rates at their next meeting on May the 7th. So that's not this week, that's next week. And another strategist at Judo Bank, well-respected strategist, suggesting we're going to see 3 rate rises this year, taking Australian base rates up to 5.1%. by the end of the year, and that the RBA haven't done enough. So that's the big theme of the moment, is what bond yields are doing. They're still trending up, and the trend is not our friend, unless it ends. Hasn't ended yet. So whilst the NASDAQ was up 2%, we did sort of know that was going to happen, which is why our futures are reasonably subdued, up 24. The other issue flying around at the moment, of course, is BHP bidding for Anglo American. The headlines this morning are Anglo spurns BHP's $39 billion bid as investors push stock higher, and BHP is considering an improved proposal for Anglo American after the bid was rejected. This presumably, I've yet to wade through all the research, but this presumably is going to keep the lid on BHP and is going to favour Rio and Fortescue Limited over BHP in the short term. Last week, notably, BHP, as it got sold down, Fortescue and Rio went up. I think we've got Rio's AGM today, Thursday, I think. Back to this week rather than last week, or we're still on last week actually. The PCE price index number in the US came out on Friday. It was in line with expectations month on month. It was slightly higher than expectations year on year, but wasn't enough to stop the equity market rally on the back of the big tech results. So loads coming up this week. We've got the Fed meeting. That'll be Thursday morning, 4 a.m. our time. Powell spoke 2 weeks ago, and the messaging is that there was no rush to raise rates and that rates will stay high as long as needed. That was the quote. And monetary policy needs to be restrictive for longer, and rate cuts remain contingent on gaining greater confidence, remember that phrase, that inflation is moving towards the 2% target. And the last comment was, if higher inflation does persist, we can maintain the current level of restriction for as long as needed. So it's a pretty hawkish expectation we have going into the Fed meeting. So anything less than that might be a positive, but I think you'll probably see the same messaging. We also have a week of jobs numbers out of the US. We've got the main non-farm payrolls number on Friday. If you remember, the last monthly jobs number was a whopper, added 303,000 jobs. This month, they're expected to have added 243,000 jobs, and unemployment expected to stay at 3.8%. Ahead of that number, there's a private jobs jobs, sorry, private sector ADP jobs number on Wednesday. And there is a JOLTS, which is job openings number on Tuesday, which we've started to watch. And that includes an employment cost index, which is an inflation indicator. So loads of stuff to keep us busy on the US economic front. We've got an RBA meeting next week. We've got retail sales numbers on Tuesday, balance of trade numbers on Thursday. We've got Eurozone inflation numbers on Tuesday night. The Eurozone seems to be out of kilter with the rest of us. They are expected to cut rates in June. In the US, the chance of a June rate cut was a month ago 60.4%, and that's down to 11.7%. We've got Chinese PMI numbers on Tuesday. Always of interest to the resources sector. We're waiting for that much anticipated Chinese economic recovery that never happens. BHP's under a cloud anyway. Let's see if the PMI numbers out of China can surprise us on the upside. Seems unlikely. Other than that, our main focus this week will be on the bank's results. We've got NAB interims on Thursday, Macquarie full year results on Friday. Then next week, we've got Westpac interims Monday, ANZ interims on Tuesday. Ex-dividend dates, by the way, if you need to know those. By the way, if you do want to know the banks or any companies, ex-dividend dates or results dates, type in the company's name and financial calendar into Google and you'll come up. They publish their financial calendars, so they'll come up on Google on the company's website. So the ex-dividend dates for the banks, which are only on the websites, are the NAB on May the 7th, Westpac May the 9th, Macquarie May the 13th, and ANZ May the 13th. I included in the weekend email a table of how the European banks have been performing running into their results season, and some of them have had whopper results. It seems higher for longer interest rates have kept net interest margins nice and chunky, and that probably applies in Australia as well. So the expectation is that this set of results, this results season, should be, has little excuse not to be pretty good. Plus, the property market has been recovering, so what's not to like? Well, we will find out with NAB interims on Thursday. They'll set the tone, and Macquarie full year results on Friday. The usual thing with banks is that they peak about a week ahead of the results season, which they sort of have already, and then the market loses interest for about a month, 6 weeks. After they've gone ex-dividend, retail interest drifts away, and you'll see the brokers jumping on the telephone suggesting that you switch out of the major banks that have gone ex-dividend into the CBA, which goes ex-dividend in August, has full year results on August 14th, ex-dividend August 21st. So that's the usual cycle for these things. And certainly if you look at the bank sector chart at the moment, yes, they have come off again a week or two ahead of results. We are, of course, trying to buy the banks ahead of their dividends, but I'm not sure we're going to get there this year. You don't want to be trying to strip dividends into a falling share price, and the sector is trending down at the moment. Let's see if the results can turn them around. Other things, we've got quarterly production numbers still trickling out from resources companies, Origin, I think, this week. We've also got the AGM season, as I say, Rio on Thursday, and we've got sales numbers from retailers, Coles on Tuesday, Woolworths on Thursday, and we've got retail sales numbers on Tuesday and balance of trade numbers on Thursday. And that'll about do you. A few other numbers this morning. We've got the Aussie dollar at 65.35. That, of course, had a good week last week. I think it's the best week this year on the back of all the bond yield rises. Bitcoin seems to have gone into its halving event with a better to travel than arrive anatomy. Rallied into it, then that was that. Iron ore price down 0.38%. BHP was down 1.36% in the US. Rio up 0.68%. Gold price up $6.50. Oil price up a touch, up 0.17%. Brent up 0.54% on West Texas. Some of the headlines: Hamas delegation due in Cairo on Monday for Gaza ceasefire talks. Elon Musk visits China. ASX to rise, tech stocks in focus after NASDAQ rally. Japan frets over relentless yen slide as Bank of Japan keeps ultra-low rates. They had a meeting last week. Copper hits two-year high on fund buying. And that's that. Interesting week ahead. You have a fabulous day. We'll be back with the end-of-day email, no members podcast today. If you get time, fill in the members survey at the top of the newsletter today. Help drive the direction of Marcus today. And there we go.